Good morning.
Hey there, sweet pea.
Hey, sleepyhead. You ready to go?
Aren't you sleepy? Ready for the morning?
Let's have some pancakes.
Let's go.
It's the Phantom Family Podcast.
Why, hello there, friends. I am Tori Phantom here with my husband, Jimothy.
Jimothy is me.
It's true. That is your name. Thank you for confirming.
Yes, you're welcome.
I very much appreciate that. And you are listening to another episode of the Phantom Family Podcast. We're glad you're here, friends.
We are all glad you are here.
Yes. How was your week, Jimothy?
Well, we had Thanksgiving last week, which is why you may have noticed a gap in the episodes. And we don't have enough episodes to throw out a best of list. So
we sure don't.
Yeah, we took a week off for Thanksgiving.
It's all the best of. It's
so far
it's the best and the worst all at once. Hope you're enjoying, friends.
If you're listening like chronologically as we release the episodes, this is currently our greatest hits collection.
Thank you.
You are deep
I
in the greatest
you're
hits.
Enjoying it.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally.
So you're living it right now.
You're living it. The best of.
You're living history. Exactly. How was your week?
My week was chaos.
As usual.
Yeah, I had to make a turkey. So, fun story. As you might know, Jimothy, I am a content creator.
I'm well aware.
On TikTok. Also, I make a podcast with you. I don't know if you knew
sometimes.
That. Sometimes I do that. And so I have a tradition on TikTok that has been 2 years strong where I don't like to make turkey. I very much detest the turkey making. It disturbs me. I don't like the bones. I don't like touching raw meat. I don't like it. And so I know that I don't like it. I know that it disgusts me. I know that I cannot control my gut reaction to preparing it. However, I still prepare it and I still have to prepare it. And so I do. And so 2 years in a row, I have created this video where I just hit record. I mean, you know this, you live with me, but I just hit record as I start to prep the bird. And then I edit it down to a minute long and I post it on TikTok and I immediately it goes viral and 90% of people are like, yeah, like making the turkey kind of sucks. And then 10% of people are like, I hate that you exist.
Yeah, a lot
you
of people hate your existence.
Disgusting human. And fine, whatever. Like if that's how you feel, I don't care. But it's sometimes it gets to me and I think it's funny. Like honestly, I feel like that kind of shows some of the issues that we can face in social media. Cause I posted a 1 minute video where you're hearing like half a conversation between me and my kids. Like that whole process took like 30 minutes, right? And I have people are like, you didn't season that at all. Like I put a whole bunch of seasoning on it, like a whole bunch. And I had people who were like, you're awful. Just grow up. Like I am a grown up. That doesn't mean that I'm fine with this. I had people saying, if you don't like the turkey, make a ham. I don't like ham. I do sometimes eat turkey, but I don't like ham at all. So like I made the turkey for my family and I was very excited because it was the first time I've hosted Thanksgiving. Like last year we did it, as you remember, just for our family of five in the home. This year we hosted some of your family and that was very exciting for me. Just like holidays, specifically not the holiday season, just the specific holidays were typically decent days for me growing up. And so to finally like be able to host that and bring that joy to my family, like, yeah, I don't like to touch the turkey, but I did it for a reason and I just wanted to share a silly video. And so like the amount of hate I got on it, I was like, okay, all right, okay. But honestly, like it doesn't bother me too much because I think people are going to have their opinions. But
people
like,
definitely have and express their opinions on the internet.
A lot of opinions. Anyway, so like a lot of people think I suck, but I'm here to tell you that I don't. I just don't like touching raw meat. I'm not a big meat eater, but We do eat meat.
And I'm still eating the turkey because there's a lot of it.
We're still eating the turkey and we sent leftovers home. But I made a giant turkey and it was hard for me to do it. But I accomplished that and I feel good about it. So if you saw my turkey video and you saw the comment section, just know the turkey actually was very well seasoned and well cooked. And although I didn't enjoy the process, I will never make a ham and it was well enjoyed.
Although what... People say season the turkey. What are you really? I've never had turkey that tasted like anything but turkey.
Yeah, well, because honestly, the thing is, like, you're seasoning the skin. You're seasoning out of the skin. You can do injecting, like, where you take like the seasoning and you literally just like pump it full. And I would like to try that sometime, but like I didn't have like a way to do that this year. And turkeys are such big creatures. Like,
they're big birds.
There's only so much seasoning you can do, but like. You season poultry, typically, like, you're going to use, like, your sage and your garlic and your thyme. Like, I used so much seasoning. But the reason I got the hate is because I specifically only announced that I was using paprika. And I did that because I know my friends are used to me saying paprika.
Paprika.
And so I was like, LOL, I'm going to be silly and just, like, talk about the paprika. And then so many people were like, you just seasoned the turkey with butter and paprika. And I'm like, that's not what happened.
That's no.
So, okay. All right. So anyway, like, that was part of my week was the internet hated me for how I made a turkey.
To be fair, you get a lot of hate on the internet every week.
I do.
Anyway.
And I don't love it.
People don't love you sometimes.
And it's okay. You know, I don't expect everyone to like me. Like, that's, I think the thing that I kind of consider being on the internet is that I'm glad that I got popular on the internet at the age that I'm at. Because had I received the internet hate that I do now 10 years ago, I think my soul would be crushed. And that honestly, like, I spend a lot of time thinking about the younger generation who is, like, our generation created what the internet is now, and the younger generation is living it, and my heart breaks for the things that these kids, not even kids, but just, like, kids, the people younger than me are really dealing with in that younger generation, because, like, I'm at a place in my life where I can cope with it, but I don't know how they're doing. But again, like, they've been growing up with it, so maybe it's just, like, normal life for them. I don't know. Either way, like, just be nice to people on the internet because...
And in real life, just be nice.
Yeah, just be nice. Like, treat people how you want to be treated. It's just be nice. It costs $0. You never know what someone's going through. So that's my turkey tangent of the year.
I mean, there's a nice acronym for it. It's DBADB. Don't be... Well, I mean, you can figure it out from there. Anyway, just don't be a jerk. So that's super easy. Don't be a jerk. And you know, an easy way to not be a jerk is to maybe read some self-help books. And if you don't have time to read them, you can have someone else read them to you by going to www.audibletrial.com/phantom. And you can sign up. If you're a brand new user, you can get a free month of Amazon's Audible. So you've got audiobooks at your fingertips, touch. You can scroll back and forth. If you didn't listen to the last 30 seconds, click the button, go back.
If you're like me and you totally just zoned out for 5 minutes straight, like, you can just go back 5 minutes. They'll reread it to you. You're not stuck rereading the same paragraph 6 times in a row.
Yep.
Yeah, it's great.
So yeah, you can check
that
out.
And if you're already a Prime member after your trial, if you stick with it, which you should because Audible is great, you will receive 2 book credits a month.
Two.
If you're an Amazon member, and who isn't these days. So definitely go to Audible. What is that link, Jimothy?
www.audibletrial.com/phantom. Phantom. Don't listen to me spell it. Just click the link.
You know how to spell phantom.
It's in the description for this episode.
If you
don't
know, Google it.
Yep. Consent is important. Do you agree?
Yes. I wouldn't say important, but vital.
Vital. I mean, in what aspect, though?
In every aspect?
So I'm touching your arm right now. Should I have asked consent before that?
Well, I think there's layers to it because you've touched my arm, but we are in a relationship where...
Allegedly.
We've been married for quite some time, and so you touching my arm does not send me any uncomfy feelings. However, if you touch my arm and I said, please stop touching me, that would be me revoking that assumed consent.
Okay.
However, I don't think that in most situations that we can or should assume consent. So you and I have a very strong relationship where I would expect for you to randomly touch my arm to annoy me.
Usually.
And if I say, stop touching my arm, you're going to stop touching my arm and find a new way to annoy me.
Can I touch your arm right now?
Yes. I don't.
Thank you.
Like that I agreed to that.
Rubbing it.
Rubbing in your saliva.
I just licked my finger and then touched your arm because...
Because there's a video of it now. If you want to watch us record this on
you
YouTube.
You can watch video podcasting.
You can see my... I don't consent to your saliva being rubbed on my arm.
Understood. And now I know that going forward for the future. And I respect that for now. Yeah.
So when it comes to consent, though, there's a lot of things to consider. Because this is actually a discourse that I've seen happen like on social media recently. Like... About things when it comes to like dealing with your children, right? Because we don't need to ask consent to change a diaper because we have to change their diaper. Yeah. That's not something they get to consent to because that is a health and safety and hygiene thing. So they know whether they want to have their diaper changed or not. They have to have their diaper changed. So in that kind of standard, it is not really about asking for consent as much as narrating what you're doing so that they understand the process and they feel comfortable with what's happening, not necessarily asking consent. And so like, I feel like if we're constantly, every single thing we do when it comes in regards to touching our children, if we're saying, well, can I do this? Can I do this? Can I do this? It can come to a point where that might actually backfire. And so that's typically like how we approach consent with our children is like, I will, if I want to snuggle up or kiss my baby or hug my baby, I say, can I have a hug? And sometimes they say no. And it's like, okay, that's fine. Like, yeah. I'm not mad about it. But, you know, it's certain things like, okay, we have to brush your teeth now. Well, I don't want my teeth brushed. Well, we have to brush your teeth. So what I like do when it comes to teeth brushing, I mean, you've seen this. I sing to my kids while I brush their teeth. And this was a thing that started with like toothbrushing songs. Like there was a Barney song that's like, brushing my teeth and having so much fun. I never let the water run. Right. And then it also moved into the Fairly Odd Parents song, like shining teeth that sparkle, like that one.
I don't know any of these.
It's fine. You're old. Anyway, so I would sing these songs to my kids while brushing their teeth to make it maybe more comfortable for them if they don't want their teeth brushed. But that wasn't something that was up for negotiation. That wasn't something that was like, I need your total consent for that. That was something that's like, hey, this is what we have to do to keep your body healthy.
Yep.
And so like it started with these teeth songs. And now like I've been singing the score to Nightmare Before Christmas whenever I brush their teeth. Like, I don't know how we made that transition.
Brush my teeth right now and do this. Brush me, mama.
Like, I'm not. It's, you know, you're just brushing and you're like, this is Halloween. This is Halloween.
So you didn't make up fun teeth brushing lyrics.
No,
you literally are just singing.
I just sing the score to...
I can literally make up a fun song for it right now. What's this? What's this? There's plaque here everywhere. What's this?
They don't want that. They don't want that. They just want me to sing The Nightmare Before Christmas.
There's cavities and gingivitis. Oh!
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, but that's one of those things. Like, I'm not going to say I need your consent. Like, do I want them on board with it? Like, I'm not going to hold them down and traumatize them about yeah. it. Obviously, like, I want to be clear about that. Like, I'm not forcing my kids and, like, they're crying or whatever. It's like, hey, I know that maybe this isn't your favorite thing to do right now, but we have to do it. And so I feel like it's the approach. It's not like that I'm like not considering their feelings. It's that we're having this quick conversation like, hey, we have to do this right now. So what would make you most comfortable while we do this? But other things, when it comes to things where they can have autonomy, we're saying, how do you feel about that?
Do you remember when we lived in that upstate New York area and we went to the baby massage class?
There was like the most like, so we lived in this town called Ithaca. And if you know where Ithaca is, you know that a baby massage class is the most Ithaca thing that could ever happen.
It's very Ithacan. It's very
like, no judgment. It's a beautiful area. It just wasn't us.
No, it when we thought maybe it would be, and we were like, hey, this is nice. It's a nice routine. And for
that's
some
why
people,
we went, of course.
And for some people, it might be. We talked to some of the other parents in there, and they were like, oh yeah, you know, we sit down, we have a massage. I take little. I can't even think of Ithacan names.
Let's just call them Betsy.
We take little Betsy's. Betsy's consent, and I make sure that he's fine with me giving him a massage. And the lady said she rubbed him down with I think she said extra virgin olive oil. I'm pretty sure she said she used olive oil to rub her baby down.
No judgment. Like, if you're using olive oil to help soften your kid's skin, like, there's no judgment. But it was just like...
But they were all like, take your baby's consent. I'm like, this baby...
Can't
itself
that baby
and
that's I think, you know, kind of the point I was trying to make, but I circled around, is that like when your child is a toddler or baby, they can't actually give consent.
Yeah,
they are not capable. I mean, there's a legal age of consent for many things, and so when your baby is a baby, like, we can start that kind of conversation. And that's the thing that I do that I've talked about, is that like I start that discourse of like saying the things that I think are important to my kids before they can communicate that back to me, to have that language readily available when they do start talking. But when my baby is a baby, I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to change your diaper now. Okay, we're going to have a wipey here. It might be cold. Yeah. Because that is kind of the level of consent. It's, I got to change the diaper, dude. Like, this is what's going to happen. This is what we have to do it. Okay, I can't actually leave you in a poopy diaper all day.
Yeah.
But thankfully, we don't deal with diapers anymore.
No. And if anyone out there does practice or do anything with baby massage, again, I'm not talking down to that. I kind of want to know more about that process of,
yeah,
of you know, how do you obtain consent? Because maybe I'm looking at it as just matter of fact, literally, like, have your baby sign something. Say, like, okay, daddy, you can rub me down with olive oil.
Because we did do baby sign, but, like, when we went to the baby massage class, our baby was an infant. Like, yeah, that wasn't a thing. And the thing is, like, again, I always want to be sure that that people are aware. We are not judging these things. Like, just because it's not for us doesn't mean that we want to judge or offend anyone.
It was a thing that we didn't...
It just wasn't for us. Like, we felt kind of like we are out of place here.
This feels... at the time, we were like, oh, this feels very hippy-dippy. But it's like, yeah, we don't understand. I would like to hear more about it. So if you
do that,
have any knowledge on that and you can speak to that, by all means, feel free to reach out.
Yeah, because we didn't do more research at the time. This was years ago.
I still haven't done more research. Yeah, I honestly hadn't thought about this.
We don't have babies anymore.
No, they are not babies.
They are not babies anymore.
I had not thought about that moment in a long, long time until right now. When you saying, oh, can I have consent to change your diaper? That made me think of that class.
But so, I mean, I guess that's kind of like where that consent conversation starts, is when your baby is literally an infant. Because although they cannot give consent, what we can do is give them comfort. So when they can't consent, we can give them comfort. But we have to be careful in what we're doing, because we don't want to hurt our children in any way, of course. But as they get older, they start to have opinions. Like our three-year-old, like, she is... perfectly capable of consenting.
Yes.
And like that little one, like, she'll be all for the snuggles, and I'm like, can I kiss your forehead? And she says nope. And I say, okay,
no kisses.
I say, okay. That's what she'll do. She'll say huggy instead. And I say, okay, you know. And but the thing is that the way that we talk about consent in our family is that it's always ongoing. There is no time where consent can be like, well, you said it was fine then, so why isn't it fine now? No, like, consent is active and it can be revoked at any time.
Yes.
And that is like kind of a normal discourse. Like, I feel like I use the word consent 6 times a day having 3 small kids, because they start to play rough and they're having fun, and then suddenly someone is not having fun, and I'm like, hey, it seems like Squirrely Girl is not consenting to this anymore, Pumpkin Pie. Like, maybe let's give her some space and talk to her, because the way that she is reacting, that body language she's showing, is telling me that perhaps she's not happy with this interaction anymore. So you need to take a step back, Pumpkin Pie, and we need to reevaluate, you know. And that's not putting Pumpkin Pie in trouble, because again, she's 9. So although she's a lot further along than the 5-year-old, that doesn't necessarily mean that she's, you know, an adult with a full understanding of body language. And so she's never in trouble for that, so long as when I say, hey, take a step back, you know, she does, and we kind of
reevaluate. As long as she follows through, yeah.
Yeah, and we talk about that, because it's like, okay, like we need to, that's the thing with consent, is it's not just verbal. And that's the thing we talk about with our kids. Consent isn't just verbal consent. We need to pay attention to body language, because if we notice someone is uncomfortable with something, we need to take a step back. And that's the thing, like with tickling, our kids ask to be tickled.
Way too much.
Right. But
they enjoy the fun stimulation of it. It's like, oh, tickle me, I want to laugh, you're amusing me, entertain me by making me laugh at myself, technically.
But that's, I mean, the way that we handle tickling here is that we will tickle for a short moment. Do not tickle me, sir, I do not consent.
Oh, you're right. I was just merely demonstrating.
Okay, of course. But so that's the thing, is because we understand that our kids are not they are capable of giving consent, but in the moment, think about being tickled and how stressful that can be if you're being tickled and you don't want to be. So we don't put that stress on our kids. So if our kids say, can you tickle me, we'll do it for a minute, and then we stop to see if they want to be tickled more. Like, they're asking for that, because I never want my kid to end up in the situation where they're like, I said stop. Like, that's so stressful when you get to that moment. And exactly. And so it's just kind of trying to avoid that stress, and we can't avoid that when it's in their interpersonal relationships as siblings, but we can call it out, like, hey, you need to notice that your sister is not okay with this right now. Like, really pay attention. If she's saying stop or no more, listen, that is her revoking consent. Yep. Right now in this moment, and you need to be here for that. You need to listen to that, and you need to respect that. And typically we've had no problems. Like, sometimes they just need to be reminded, like, hey, you might be having fun, but it does not appear that the other person is having fun right now.
Yep. Take it down. Take it down a notch, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that. Well, okay. How was consent handled when you were a kid, Timothy?
What's that? I didn't, there was nothing. Like, I wasn't asked, like, hey, do I have consent to spank you with this belt? No, that answer would have been no.
Right, of course, obviously. Like, don't hit your kids. I feel like we say that a lot, but we're going to keep saying it, because don't hit your kids.
Girl, don't
do it.
The idea of me as a second-class citizen living in the house underneath an adult, I didn't have consent for anything. There was consent. I consent? No, that wasn't a thing. That was literally, do what you're told to do. That's what you do.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was it for me.
Well, so here's another idea. And this, so when I was a kid, one of the things,
ooh, here it goes.
Here we go. So when I was a kid, we would spend Christmas Eve every year with my mom's side of the family. Now, we didn't see my mom's side of the family outside of that one time a year. Maybe one other time, but very rarely would we see my mom's side of the family outside of that one time a year. And I had this uncle, and he made me uncomfy. Like, I didn't know him, I didn't like him, but every time I saw him, he wanted a hug and a kiss, and I did not like him. Like, I don't have any, like, I don't care. Like, if you see this podcast, you know who you are. I didn't like you. There's a reason that people would pay me to give you a hug, okay? And so that was kind of the standard in my family, was like, well, you're gonna make him feel bad. Well, what about how I feel? What about how I feel? Because I was, like, mortified by having to hug and kiss this man I didn't know. And they would give me a quarter to hug him. And I felt like, I felt icky. Like, I hated every second of it. But they would all giggle because it was so silly. And I hated it. And then, like, it came to the point where I was a little older. And they're like, well, you're going to come, like, you're going to hug and kiss him? And I said, well, am I going to get paid? And then, like, everyone laughed. And I was like, I don't want to do this. But they were way more focused on this adult feelings than mine. And I'm here to tell you, your kids' feelings matter. Like, they matter. If your kid doesn't want to hug or kiss someone, like, tell the adult to back off. Who cares? If grandma's gonna be sad, you know what? Those are grandma's feelings to deal with. Period. Like, there's other options. We can high five, we can wave, we can just say hello. Like, honestly, I'm not even gonna force my kids to say hello. I'll encourage it. But, like, my kids' comfort level, like, that's how we're developing healthy relationships and boundaries. Like, I'm not good at healthy socialization because I grew up, like, afraid of people and being forced into these weird situations. So, like, yeah, like, I used to get paid to hug my uncle. And I still feel icky about that.
That's a soundbite for the ages.
all of my family was like, ha, this is so funny. And I was like, I literally would hide under a table because I didn't want to go near him. I felt uncomfortable. And then no adult in my family was like, this, we shouldn't be forcing this. Like, let's just let Tori go do their thing. No, they were like, well, we'll pay you. We're going to force you. Whether you like it or not, you have to do this.
Well, here's the thing about consent. There's no age limit on it. It literally, nope. From, you know, we said that as a baby, like, we can't obviously, you know, get little baby squirrely girls consent to wipe her butt. But once she gets of an age, like, if she doesn't want to hug someone, if she doesn't want to kiss someone,
yeah,
you know, you don't have to. Even Beanie Baby,
even
who...
at 1 or 2 years old, if it's that separation anxiety, if baby doesn't want to go... And, of course, this is different. Like, I'm not talking about, like, daycare school situations where, like, there has to be this. You know, like, that separation anxiety is, like... There's reason behind that. There's no judgment there. But I'm saying, like, at Christmas... And you're holding your baby and grandma's like, let me hug the baby. Let me take the baby. And the baby hasn't seen grandma in a year and the baby's really stressed. Like, why are we forcing baby to do that?
Yeah.
Like, there's other ways around it.
Well, and we've got Beanie Baby, who, as I was saying, is a very social little, I don't know, whatever a social animal is.
Butterfly. Sure. Social butterfly.
Social butterfly. There you go. That's the term. Social, yeah. Mothman. She likes Mothman more. She's a social Mothman. She will wave at everyone. We were going through our local Christmas in the park. We've got Christmas lights around the lake. She was waving at everyone, saying Merry Christmas to everyone as we were driving, yes, slowly by all the cars. She loved it. She was having a blast.
Absolutely.
She was waving at people in Guitar Center as we were there today. She was waving at people there, mm-hmm, and saying hello. She's very social. She hugged a nurse.
She hugs everybody, like, because that's the thing. Yes. Having a pandemic baby, she doesn't understand, like, she hasn't grown up watching the way that social norms happen because she's essentially been growing up at home. And so, but she loves people. She's a little social butterfly.
She's,
so anytime
she's happy,
we
and if
leave
she sees
the house
happy
at
people,
all, she sees someone and she's like, I love them and I'm going to give them a hug. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because every person she ever hugs, because she just, like, it happens in a split second. She's like, I'm just going to hug this person. And they're always so happy that our cute little baby is just like, I love you right now. Like, I'm just going to hug you.
And there are some people who she falls in love with and, like, wants to be with more, like our tattoo artist.
Yes.
Who she, yes, is
they're
always
besties.
Talking about.
They
her.
Are besties.
But then we've got Squirrely Girl, who is the exact opposite. If you come into the room, she is a cat who will hide under the
at
table.
Her.
Yeah.
Do not. And that's the thing too, is that she is autistic. Ow.
Yeah.
Our Squirrely Girl is autistic. And so she has a lot of social anxieties with that. And so from the time she was very small, I never felt like I needed to disclose the fact that she was autistic, because being autistic is part of who she is, but it's not what defines her, right?
Yeah.
And so when we would be in a store, especially in the toddler ages, when old people would come up and try to talk to her, she would immediately panic and, like, hide, right? And I would just look at these people and say, she's shy, please give her some space. But the thing is because of the language that I used, our Squirrely Girl has developed this idea that anxiety, that social anxiety feeling, is actually being shy. And so when she goes into social situations and she doesn't want to talk, I say, well, what's wrong? And she goes, I'm feeling shy, because that was the term I used to just get people to leave her alone.
Yeah.
And so she thinks shy means socially anxious, which is, like, I kind of, honestly.
I mean, sort of, as a, yeah, as a base descriptor. It is, like, the word that you would look up other synonyms for in the thesaurus,
yes,
to describe more thoroughly what she is feeling.
Right, exactly. But so, I mean, I guess, like, the thing is, what I would like to convey from this episode is that consent is ongoing. And from the time you can give consent, you should have the authority to do so, because,
yes,
we do not control our kids' autonomy. They have a voice, and if we're not listening to it, then we're doing something wrong. We need to listen to our kids, because how can we parent our kids if we don't know them, if we're not listening to them?
Yeah, agreed.
And so really, when we're looking at consent, if we're giving our children from a very young age the opportunity to say, no, I don't like this, stop. If we're paying attention to that body language, when they seem obviously uncomfortable with something and we say, let's change this to make them more comfortable, we're not making soft kids. we're not making snowflakes, which I just hate that term anyway, but like we're not creating this generation that is entitled. We're making a generation that is empowered. We're making a generation that is going to grow up and not question the way that they should be treated. They are going to be able to say no with confidence, because consent, being able to say no, saying no to someone is giving your consent. It's taking away your consent. No, I don't want to do this. No, I'm not okay with this. And as an adult who is almost 30 years old, I struggle to say no in many situations. And that was because I never was able to say no. I never got the practice. So
can I lick my finger and touch your arm?
No.
There you go.
There you go. But that's, I feel like that's an important thing here, is that your kids need practice, because we can say, well, when they're older, we'll talk about it. But if they're not growing up with that ability to claim their autonomy and say, I do not consent to a hug right now, you know, and we can't guilt them. Like, you know, sometimes I want to give my kids a hug and they say no. And like, I'm kind of sad about it. But do you know what I don't do?
Make them hug you?
I don't make them hug me. And also, I don't make them feel guilty about it. I don't say, well, I just love you. I want you to hug me. Well, if you love me, you'd hug me. There's none of that, which is, I feel like a toxic thing with grandparents that I notice.
Where it's like, an older generation.
It is.
They
it
came
is.
From a different time.
Which doesn't excuse anything.
So do the dinosaurs, and now they provide gasoline to us.
Oh, goodness. But either way, like, I feel like it's so important that we give our kids we empower our kids to make decisions at appropriate times. So again, like, we're not saying like, okay, well, they don't want to brush their teeth, so they don't have to. Like, no, they still have to brush their teeth, because self-care is actually, like, I don't feel like that should be an option. And I'm not talking about like in relation to mental illness, because as someone with mental illness, I understand how hard that can be. But I'm saying, like, when we're raising our kids into these routines, like, self-care isn't an option. We want to, I want to raise my kids where they're taking care of themselves and brushing their hair and brushing their teeth and doing all of those things. So it's kind of determining what is a consent thing versus not a consent thing, and giving them the voice and empowering them to use it. Yeah. And then accepting it when their consent makes us feel bad.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like, if I want to go and kiss my little baby on the forehead and she says, no kisses, mom, like, I'm going to feel sad about that. I love kissing her little forehead. But you know what? It's not up to me how she feels about it in that moment.
True.
And the other side of that is, and I think you've seen this a lot too, I don't know if you use it as much, but I personally will tell the kids, like, because I get very overwhelmed with people touching me. And as you know, our kids actually think I'm a piece of furniture.
When you're not around, it's me.
Yeah. And so, you know, like, it can get very overwhelming when you have kids using you as a jungle gym. And
yep.
So I will tell my kids very specifically, like, I very specifically use the word consent. I feel like that's such a powerful, important word for them to know.
It's definitely a good word to have burned into their brain so that they understand 100% what it means, because they've heard it from birth.
Yeah. So I will tell them, like, I don't consent to you being on top of me right now. Like, I want to give you options. I'm not saying you can't touch me, but you can't be on top of me right now. I am feeling uncomfortable and you're not respecting my boundaries, because boundaries and consent go hand in hand. Yes. And so if I'm feeling like, hey, I am setting a boundary right now and you're not respecting that, it's very easy to give that back to them. Like, how would you feel if you set a boundary with me and I wasn't respecting it? Because when they're empowered to know they're allowed to set boundaries, they're allowed to not consent to things, they're allowed to consent to things, then when you then challenge them to empathize, they are more likely to be perceptive to that.
Yeah.
So when I'm like, you can sit next to me, but I do not want you on top of me. I need space right now. I'm not consenting to this. 99% of the time, they're just going to move, because they know that I react the same way when they say the word no.
Yeah, they don't like hearing that word sometimes. They're not totally spoiled, but they don't like hearing that word, especially when it comes to iPad time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can we have screens? Not right now. Meh. And then they'll cry it out, and you'll catch them playing Barbies literally like 3 minutes later.
Yeah, it's very easy to transition those times. It's all about distraction. I feel like when they're really little, you know, We can't control their reactions, but we can surely distract them.
Yes, we can control the distractions.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the thing when we talk about consent, it's educating them about why that is important. And sometimes that leads to uncomfy conversations. But I feel like they need to know at an age appropriate level that, like, hey, you're allowed to consent or not consent to things. And if someone violates your consent, you have to tell me.
Yes.
Please. Because being a parent is scary. Because you don't ever want your kids to experience anything bad, but we can't protect them from everything. So.
Exactly. Can't keep them in a Tupperware bowl and just...
We can't.
Burp they're the not, lid. And be
they're
like,
not an ecosystem. Right. They're fully formed humans.
What if they were ant farms?
Well, then Squirrely Girl would be really happy because we do be building ant nests outside the house.
We should get her an ant farm.
I cannot do it. I do not consent to having an ant farm in my house. I'm afraid of ants.
Fine. We can't have an ant farm because of you. Can't have snakes because of me. I guess the kids will just have to live...
With our goldfish pond.
I forgot about the goldfish. I was just going to say...
How did you forget about the goldfish?
I was going to say with their possum stuffies, but...
Also the possums.
The possum stuffies are great.
Which our Beanie Baby calls sumsums.
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 She was tucked in tonight in her possum blanket. Her sumsum blanket.
Sumsum blankie.
Yes.
Yes. I just talked for 30 minutes straight. I'm so glad you were here for that, Jim.
Yes, you're welcome. I am here. And everyone else is here, see?
And everyone loved hearing me talk about consent. I still have my buttons, is what I'm saying.
I think they gave us consent by clicking play. They that did. Was actively giving us consent to talk to them.
They could have just
They could have exited. They might not even be hearing this if you they have wouldn't. Revoked consent
and
to the
okay.
podcast.
It's fine if you don't want to listen to us.
That is absolutely fine.
So do you want to hold my hand?
I can do that.
Right. If you're watching us on YouTube right now, you know how awkward this hand holding looks.
This is how we always hold hands.
Every time, just up in the
yes,
air.
If you're seeing the video version of this, not just on YouTube, this could be on Spotify as well. You don't even know about our distribution policies. I'm going to have to give you...
I just show up and talk, and Jim deals with everything else.
I do the other parts. The graphics and the audio and the hardware and everything else. It's easy for me because I'm an audio guy.
I bought a camera.
And you hit record on that.
I did. I hit record. I put it on the tripod.
I got these mics
did the
and
thing.
The mixer and stuff here. So
thank you.
I am. Oh. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Incredible. Incredible.
So where can people find you online if they want to consent to following you on your other platforms?
You can find me at Tori Phantom in all places. I am on a Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Tori.Phantom on Instagram. I'm on Snapchat, Real Tori Phantom. I am everywhere.
I am
and
on...
And we should be friends if you consent to it.
I am on TikTok as at Jim Beard. You can find me on Instagram at Jimothy Strange. I'm on Twitter as the same thing, at Jimothy Strange. We do have a Twitter for this very podcast.
We do?
Yeah, it's called Phantom Family. I posted the last episode. It is there. You can find that if you want to do it. And if you do that right before you go to bed, that is fine. But you do need to get a little shut-eye. It is time to go to sleep.
It's time to go. It's too late.
So have a great, wonderful night. We will catch you next time. Yes, we will bring you water.
In the morning. We love you.
We love you.
We love you so much.
All right, we love you. All right. You have yourself a wonderful night. I love you so much.
Sweet dreams.